Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. I am joined for the preponderance of the hour by the Reverend Kathleen Jones, a very dear, dear woman who has a marvelous ministry to homeless women in West Philadelphia under the guise of Potter's House, right at 52nd Street. It's a wonderful ministry. Reverend Jones is simply a delightful lady. But before we take time with her, we take time with the Apostle Paul, yet again from his second letter to the Corinthians in the second, or rather third chapter, and I have this to read. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter kills, the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry of death carved in letters on stone came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all, because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. I've come to love this text. It must be obvious. I've been using it for several weeks now, as I have from my morning pulpit back at the ranch in Conshohocken. I love the motif of a letter. I'm one of the last of the letter writers and note writers, and I love the fact that a letter of recommendation is the motif applied by the great apostle. He says, again, you yourselves are our letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all. My lovely guest forthcoming, the Reverend Kathleen Jones, the ladies to whom she devotes her life, they are written on her heart. She is no doubt written on theirs, and her motivation is by virtue of the fact that she herself, as I pray that I am to my own purview, that we are letters of Christ to be read by any and all. We speak the word, and we preach the word, and we teach the word, but it is to be trusted that we live the word, that we embody it, this by virtue and by way of the operative power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Paul goes on to say, you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us. Here I love this, written not with ink. Now, be mindful, please. We are now in a digital age. Fewer and fewer people are using ink, and more people are applying themselves to digital technology. But here's an even greater distinctive. You show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. With the Spirit of the living God. Something greater than AI. Or artificial intelligence, something greater than the awesome power of digital technology. We live now, of course, in an information age, and information is power. But we may be filled with, as we come to Christ, the one who is the bestower of wisdom, All of the knowledge in the world is not as helpful as is wisdom, which is the means by which we can apply, rightly apply, the knowledge we have. The operative power of the Holy Spirit is the one who brings wisdom into our lives. And he is the one by whom we can be agents of Christ, one to the other. It is by way not simply of the operative system of Talk Radio 1210 or my computer, or even by way of my homiletical proclivities. If the Spirit of God is not in this enterprise, we could have 10 times the number of audience and even lesser effect. So I pray that the Holy Spirit is operative by way of this enterprise. And I praise God for the privilege. And then he says that not on tablets of stone is this letter written, but on tablets of human hearts. I love the printed page, but I love the embodied life even better. Praise God. And Paul goes on to say that because of his operative power and all that he has done, we have confidence. Our confidence is not in ourselves. It is first and foremost through Christ. It is unto God. And therefore, whatever it is I say to you or do on your behalf, you are not first and foremost my audience. I say this with respect to each and every one of you, for whom I have the deepest regard and the deepest appreciation. The truth, however, is that at the most fundamental level, I have an audience of one. O-N-E with a capital O. God is one, and he is my audience. And I endeavor to please him first and foremost, hoping and praying that by way of pleasing him, I may bring blessing to you. Paul goes on to say yet again that we are not sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. You know, I say to some people I know, I have some lovely relationships, some very endearing friendships. I love my congregation. I have an adjunct congregation. I love each and every one of them. I have a larger aggregate of people who read what I write, and even larger aggregate still, of which you are a part, who listen to what I say. But let me say this. I say to some in a particular context that my sufficiency is not in what I have with any of them or you, meaningful as it all is, and as all of you are. But my sufficiency, my confidence is found in Christ. My fulfillment is found in Christ. If I have only an audience of one, I am satisfied. Paul says that our sufficiency is in him and from him. And I quote now, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant. Competency. You know, we are speaking right now in the aftermath of the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump. And there's great concern that for all of the bravery of Secret Service, state police, and local police, that there was to whatever degree an incompetency at play that allowed for a teenage boy to make his way onto a rooftop. Incompetency has frightful consequence. I can tell you that it does in the spiritual realm. I don't mean that we have to be masters of our craft, but we must be faithful, diligent stewards. And if we are, we are made competent. God makes us competent through Christ to be ministers of a new covenant, not the old covenant. We will talk about that more so next time, perhaps, but of a new covenant. Behold, the old has gone and the new has come. It is not of the letter, but of the Spirit. My dad was an attorney, and he would say to me in no uncertain terms that the law is a jealous mistress. He would say to me in no uncertain terms that ignorance of the law is no excuse. If you're not jotting every I and crossing every T, dotting every I and crossing every T, brothers and sisters, we have problems. But here we read the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, we must be mindful of the fact that the New Testament teaches us that law and Spirit work hand in hand. But the law is an instrument of the Spirit, and the Spirit gives us grace that we can fulfill the law. We don't do so, however, begrudgingly. We do so lovingly and cheerfully and joyfully, because we know that by it we're honoring God. It is imperative that we begin to look afresh as a society to the Ten Commandments. What one commentator on the Ten Commandments has described, and I quote, as that irreducible minimum by which human conduct can be lived and can prosper. We have lost that a long time ago. Our children, a long time ago, ceased to be taught that. And we are all feeling the effects now, a couple of generations later, and it's only getting worse. We must be mindful of the fact that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life, and that same Spirit will direct us to Jesus Christ, who died for us and who now lives and intercedes for us. He will enable us to live godly lives that will bring substance and meaning and fulfillment to who and what we are and do. Praise God. Brad Lacey with the great message. We return with the Reverend Kathleen Jones of Potter's House in West Philadelphia in just a moment. Brad Lacey, good morning, with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It is my pleasure to be joined today by a very dear, dear lady who is so faithfully devoted to her ministry and those within her ministerial purview. This is the Reverend Kathleen Jones, who is the overseer of Potter's House, a wonderful ministry in West Philadelphia to homeless women. Reverend Jones, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, I'm so happy to be able to do so.
Well, I am happy that you can do so. You and I have had the privilege of getting acquainted. We shared a lovely brunch over at Katz on City Ave. It was a delightful time.
Yes.
And I know that this will, praise God, and I know this will be a delightful time by way of this radio broadcast. Reverend Jones, first and foremost, it's very formulaic on the one hand when I bring guests onto the broadcast. By the same token, it's very meaningful and substantive. I'd love for you to share your story, your personal story of Christian faith with our audience.
Well, I'm going to kind of condense my little story. I was raised as a child in South Philadelphia around the 23rd and Dickinson. And during that time, there was mostly an Italian community. And during those times, there wasn't violence. You know, we used to be able to sit on the steps, you know, doors wide open in the summertime and live a casual, carefree life. I started around 6 or 7, and excuse the noise in the background. That's I'm here at the shelter in the office. Around 6 or 7 years old, I became a Catholic and made my first holy confirmation. And later on, my family mostly were Baptists, and my uncle was pastor at the New Central Baptist Church in South Philadelphia around 23rd Street. And I sang there on the choir, and just a general, you know, Christian life. And later on in life, as I became a teen, I met a friend of mine who was saved, and she started telling me about a deeper life in Christ. And so I joined during that time Acts of the Apostles Church, where I've been a member there, was there for like 50 years. During that time, the Lord really began to deal with my life. And I knew I had a call on my life, not so much as a pastor or preacher or evangelist, but my heart was really aimed towards helping people. So, you know, the Lord was telling me about the church that I belonged to, Acts, was at 28th and Master Street. We had a property with a convent, a school, then a couple other buildings, a rectory. So the Lord said we could use that property as a shelter for the homeless in the city of Philadelphia. So I gave the city of Philadelphia a call, and, you know, then the rest is history. We started the shelter there at Acts of the Apostles Church, and it's still one of the largest shelters in the city of Philadelphia today. So that's how my life was.
If I may interject, I'm speaking now with sweetness and with humorous affection. You've worked all ends of the spectrum, Catholic, Baptist, and now Acts of the Apostles, and I love it. You have a touch and taste of the full spectrum of the kingdom of God. I'm curious, you were speaking of your earlier days when things were much more casual and relaxed. One could sit out on the porch with friends and neighbors, something you don't see as much of any longer. But you are an African-American woman being raised up in an Italian community. I have something similar, though not as a Welshman. I was a Welsh Protestant raised up amongst Italian Catholics. I'm curious that as a black woman being raised up amidst an Italian community, it sounds as if it was a very salutary and unified neighborhood. Am I correct?
Oh, my God, yes. We live like family.
Praise God,
you know,
to
my
hear.
First, my first boyfriend, well, you know, of course, when you're 7 and 8 years old, you're just a kid. My first boyfriend was part of the Pagano family, and I often wonder if that's the Pagano families that are there on, you know, Italian Street, you know, in South Philly, around 9th Street. And I used to, his mother, come on over, you know, and have, you know, dinner with us. And, you know, we all lived in the community as one. There was no prejudice. There was no violence. People then just lived a clean, healthy life. We would go to school.
But I'm struck by this because when I came to Conshohocken, and I think this is one of the strengths that the Christian church put forth. We had Conshohocken when I arrived was preponderantly Italian, Irish, Polish, and there was a healthy aggregate of African American. And there was little, I'm not suggesting there wasn't any, but very little racial tension or divisiveness.
That's right.
And what I heard from both my black friends and my Caucasian friends, they all said the same thing. I quote, "We all grew up together."
That's right.
And I love that because according to the word of God, we are all made in God's image and after his likeness. And quite candidly, Reverend Jones, I love the variety that he has brought into order and into the created order.
Yes.
Your black skin is very beautiful to me. I praise God for it. And so I'm so pleased that this is part of your foundation as a Christian.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And, you know, I guess because raised in that kind of environment, I grew up, you know, even as an older adult now, and with loving everybody that I meet, you know. And so this is kind of what led us into to start the Potter's House Mission because of the need of people of all races, Gentiles, religion, were homeless. You know, so, you know, this would kind of go into the part about how I got started with Potter's House.
Well, if you allow me, as we get a little preface, what was it, we have about 1 minute here.
Okay.
What was it, as part of your Christian formation and call to ministry, what was it about the homeless that attracted you to minister to them? A sense of calling? Were you struck by someone you met? What brought this about?
Well, I believe it was the calling because you know what? In the Word of God, it says the homeless or the poor you would have always with you. So I believe that God has to raise someone up, some people up, to take care of the homeless and the poor. So this is, I believe it's a calling because everybody doesn't feel that way, you know, about directing themselves out to feeding people on the streets and taking blankets, you know, and covering them up, food, taking food to them. So it has to definitely be a calling because it's a hard work because you're dealing with people who are unclean. You know, many have mental illness. Well, not many, but most. Now, they've come from different diverse backgrounds. I mean, they're homeless for so many reasons, not because of just being poor. Maybe there was a fire. Maybe they lost their job. Maybe they were put out their apartments. So there are many reasons why people are on the street today that are homeless.
Well, you know, I remember.
And so,
forgive me again. I'm so sorry for interjecting because we're going to need to go to a break. I will tell you, I remember being with a friend of mine some time ago. And he was actually laughing at a homeless man for sleeping on the street. I was appalled by that insensitivity in the very least.
Right.
I praise God that there are individuals like yourself who have been blessed with a heart for the downtrodden. Reverend Jones, again, I apologize for interjecting. In our next segment, we're going to dive into Potter's House. This is Brad Lacey and the Reverend Kathleen Jones. We return with the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacey and the Reverend Kathleen Jones of Potter's House, a wonderful ministry to homeless women in West Philadelphia, returning for another round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. Reverend Jones, I know you're eager and wanting to run with the story of Potter's House, so I want you to just give it a go now. Tell us all about what you're doing in West Philadelphia.
Well, certainly. My heart is concerned about homeless women, children, men, you know, anyone, you know, that's on the street. You know, we've always been dedicated, you know, to strengthening and enhancing the lives of most vulnerable and to meet their needs in the city of Philadelphia. So to support in eradicating homelessness, you know, statistics from the city of Philadelphia points out that there are about 21% of homeless people that are, you know, on the streets today that are ages 55 and older. And it's anticipated to continue to grow significantly with the baby boomers generation and Generation X. Now, we started this work in 1975 in West Philadelphia. It's called Potter's House Mission. You know, I'm sure people have heard of T.D. Jakes' Potter's House, but it's not the same. We were incorporated in 1975, and we started with this building on 52nd Street because we wanted to have support services and a home where people could come in, live, be safe, have a good meal, and receive the help that they need to put their lives back together again. And that's why it's called Potter's House, Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. When the Lord went down to the potter and saw him making a wheel with clay, and he asked the potter, "What is this that you're doing?" And then he looked at the potter and said, "Can I not do that with you?" Excuse me.
That's all right.
"I'd like to take and mold you in my hands and make your life new again." So that's where the name came from, Potter's House.
I'm intrigued. I have dealt with, when I lived in Boston, I would have some dealings with homeless people because I was walking incessantly for a good 6 years throughout the city of Boston. And I would often come across homeless people. And I learned something in those days, Reverend Jones. We can easily, those of us who haven't been afflicted with that plight, we can see these homeless people throughout Philly. They can become very nondescript to us. They can all begin to look alike if we don't know them. But I recall from my Boston days that I would have interactions, as you clearly do, on a more sustained basis. And I found each and every homeless person with whom I had an encounter was a unique and singular individual. I remember one man, he had a wonderful sense of humor. I remember a second man, and I loved this guy. It was late on a Saturday night. My best friend and I were in the subway station of Harvard Square, hoping to get the last train out of Dodge to go home. And we were talking about old movies. I'm an old movie buff, as was my friend. And there was a homeless man sitting to our right, and he wanted a cigarette, and my friend smoked. So he asked John for a cigarette. John graciously gives him one. And we continued with our conversation. And this man, I could see by way of my peripheral vision, was listening very closely. And then he chimed in. We were talking about Clark Gable. And he said to us, I'll never forget this, Reverend Jones. He said to us, you know, Gable worked very hard at his craft. That's a quote. And we looked over and we began to engage the man. And I have to tell you something. This homeless man living in Harvard Square subway, he was well-versed in Clark Gable movies. So my point is that these are men and women who are very real with their own distinct qualities and personalities, and for reasons germane to their circumstances, have hit Skid Row. I know that you know this, you're ministering. So tell us about some of the human qualities that you encounter with your ministry to the homeless.
Well, when they come in, you know, like when they come into the mission, many of them are disorientated, you know, and of course from living on the streets, you know, we kind of had to help them to regain their self-worth and their respect, you know, and making sure they were bathing daily and making sure that they had mm-hmm. clean clothes and food, good food to eat. And not just provide a house to live, but then we needed to, you know, really reach out to the person as a whole, their whole human being, their, you know, and provide services that would help them, like case management, you know, employment, you know, training and stuff, because some had goals that they were never able to fulfill because of being homeless, because of being redirected, you know, their goals were redirected to negative things. You know, drugs can play a very important part in a person's life because it disorientates their mind. So we had a mental behavior therapist and then have mental evaluations done to kind of, like I said, deep down inside, dig down to that person that's there, the soul of that real man and that real woman that's there, and how they used to think and how they used to act and the good things in their lives, to bring this back to their remembrance. And then they were able to say, well, you know what, I always wanted to get training in the carpentry or painting. Another one would say, well, I always liked the arts, you know, and performing arts. So we had with the University College of the University of Pennsylvania, we used to send the ladies and the children down there, and they would let them, you know, would help them with it and cultivate their gifts. As a matter of fact, we used to have a few plays right here at the school on the corner of 52nd and Pine. We had the Wiz. And so it's not just, you know, feeding and clothing, but it's really bringing their minds back to reality.
It sounds to me, if you'll allow for the expression as a basketball fan, it sounds to me as if you engage in a full court press in helping these individuals.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Life skills training, you know, even how to cook again, you know, back again, and even with the manners, you know, how to set the table again, mm-hmm. with cleanliness, you know, a hygiene. And so here lately, we're connected with the building down the street, used to be the Misericordia Hospital. It's run by Philadelphia Health Management Corporation now. And so they, you know, we're able to refer some of our ladies down there for treatment, you know, mental health treatment and for other things, you know. So it's not just about, like I said again, food and clothing, but it's about the whole person as a whole, efforts in increasing their worth, their self-worth, and supporting their needs.
And if I may, Reverend Jones, I understand as well that you have chapel services and spiritual classes, or however you would describe it, but the gospel comes into the very core of what you're doing.
What comes into the core?
I'm sorry. Well, I believe you have chapel services. I know we've provided Bibles for you through the Philadelphia Bible Society.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We have women from the current church that I belong to, Bethel Deliverance Church. Mm-hmm. We have the women coming in a couple times a week, and they sit down and they have sessions with them. You know, they have sessions, and then we have people that come in and do art classes.
Right, right.
So it's because of the diversity of the religion.
Yes.
You know, some have come in, they're Muslim, some are Presbyterian. So whatever their belief is, we try to incorporate, you know, because we're not trying to, just make them into one religion or one faith. So we bring a gamut of people in, and we have talks and we have conversations.
And you know what? I love that. I have found over my 62 years that it is by way of sharing with one another conversationally that in large measure we not only get to know one another, but we develop a regard and a respect for one another. And of course, it's true, you and I as committed Christians, that the love of Christ mandates that we share what we have with any and all. And being Christians doesn't
mean
we're looking to impose our faith upon others, but we do. But everything we do is expressive of our faith.
Expressing Christ.
Yes.
That's right, express Christ, and that he died for our sins, and he rose again, and that he's there for them. And that's mainly our focus, to let them know that he reaches out. That's why it's Potter's House again, the remolding and reshaping of their lives, that he's always there, always present.
Praise God. And you know,
and that's why,
as you and I got to know one another over a lovely brunch at Cat's Deli on City Line Ave, I felt not only did I feel that you and I established a very lovely and meaningful rapport, but Reverend Jones, I say this to you with complete sincerity. It was my privilege to discern the presence and the beauty and the love of Christ in you. And if I encounter that over lunch together, I can only imagine what these ladies are encountering by way of his presence in and through you as well. But we have one more round. Brad Lacey and the Reverend Kathleen Jones of Potter's House in West Philly. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey and the Reverend Kathleen Jones of Potter's House, a wonderful ministry to homeless women in West Philadelphia. We return for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. Reverend Jones, two observations, and then I want to make a third observation concerning Potter's House. The first observation relates to my twin brother, Brian, who was studying in London some 40-plus years ago, and he encountered a homeless man on the streets of London, and my brother went to pull out a pound, not an American dollar, but an English pound, to put in the homeless man's hands. And as he was doing so, he said, "Good morning, sir." And as he went to give the man the pound, the man stopped him. He says, "No, I don't want your pound." He says, "You've already given to me what I want." And you know what that was?
Silver and gold.
My brother
addressed... Go ahead.
I want you to finish that quote. It's a great one from the scripture.
Silver and gold, such as I have. But, you know, in other words, he was saying to the man, silver and gold is what people look for or may need. But what they have, he was there on the inside, that he was offering this man Christ. He was offering this man eternal life.
Well, that was certainly implicit in the interaction. What the man said specifically, and again, Christ was implicit. Mm-hmm. You have treated me like a human being.
Yes.
That's what I wanted from you. I've never forgotten that. And you're doing that with your homeless ladies. The second observation I'll make is a number of years ago, I'm thinking in the wake of former President Trump's assassination, it was just before President Trump was inaugurated. I remember that there was a context. And we had a group of homeless men visit our church. It was prearranged. We were planning to give them some lovely gifts, scarves and that kind of thing. And we had a lovely lunch for them. And I remember a comment that one of them made as after they left and went home. And I've never forgotten it, Reverend Jones, because it may be the finest compliment we ever received at First Baptist Church. This by the grace of God.
Mm.
But one of the homeless men said, they were very real people at Pastor Lacey's church. They treated us like human beings. And I mean, that meant the world to us because we loved having them amongst us. I would imagine that you love being with these dear ladies. I just in talking with you over this phone line, having spoken by over lunch, I think you have a genuine love for your ladies, do you not?
Well, I tell you, this program that we have, well, with the women and children first, they could only stay up to 2 years. But now, because we're dealing with seniors, 55 and older, we can keep them up to 5 years. And our case manager, mm-hmm. you know, does her best to find permanent housing, like low-income senior housing, which is permanent. And when we bring them in to interview them and say, well, look, we're thinking about, you know, referring you to this agency, some of them cry. They don't want to leave. They said, well, Reverend Jones, yeah. can't we stay here at Potter's House? And I said, well, there's a stipulation that we have, you know, because of the city guidelines, we can only have you here up to 5 years. So during that five-year period, we have worked with you. We've reshaped your lives. We've gotten you back on the feet where you can think for yourself, think clearly. You're able to dress yourself. Some of them have gone to school and learned trades. Some of them have painted some beautiful pictures with art. And I said, so now it's time for you to move on now because you can handle your life at this point. You are able to live in an apartment and pay rent and to cook for yourself and to have company and to, you know, to travel, get on the scepter and go to this point from one point to another. So you really can do, your life is now self-sufficient. You know, and this is what we bring them back to, self-sufficiency. And, of course, some don't want to leave. But when we find them a nice place, we take them there for the interview, and they see the place, you should see their smiles. They're like, oh, this is mine? This yeah. is my apartment? You know, so mm-hmm. so that's yes. what, you know, that's where we are now at this point.
It is a beautiful work that you do. I must tell you, when I was, the first time we met, you had requested a couple of cases of Bibles. And of course, that is our privilege. I serve as president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and you are using Bibles to help people. And so I dropped them off. I took the trip to West Philly, and I dropped them off. And, you know, your building on the outside is a typical-looking storefront-type place. I'm not minimizing it by any stretch when I say use the word typical. But what struck me was that the moment I entered the premises, I knew that I had entered a very special place. There was a calm, and there was a peace, and there was a beauty, not simply to the physical ambience of the place, but to the air. And there was just something very, very beautiful suffusing the air of the interior of Potter's House. And I can only construe, Reverend Jones, that is the love of Christ.
Yes.
There's no question in my mind. Now, you have been serving with Potter's House for how long?
We have been doing this for 23 years.
And you've been at the helm for 23 years?
23 years. And that was... Our goal was to let, when you walk in the door, that is home.
Yes.
It was home, and not only a home where they could eat and sleep, but they felt safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I have staff here 24/7, you know, to make sure that they're safe. It's an environment of love and care and really like family life atmosphere.
Well, you speak of safety. And I know in my conversations with many women who are living more conventional contexts that their sense of security is of the utmost import. I don't think as men, perhaps we think as readily of that, but many of the women with whom I speak and with whom I have meaningful relationship, they tell me that sense of safety and security is imperative. That you provide that to these ladies is extraordinary. And you know something, Reverend Jones?
Yeah.
When I entered your building a few weeks ago,
yeah.
I felt at home.
Mm-hmm.
I felt at home. And that is the direct result of your loving labor. The fact that you have been there for 23 years, that you have given to this ministry such longevity, it tells me that you have given of yourself. And I praise God for this. Any last thought?
Yes.
I know that you have to take your leave of us, but I want you to have a last thought.
Yes, I do. Not only have we provided home and loving care for our residents here at the Mission, but the community as a whole in West Philadelphia. You know, during Thanksgiving time, we give out Thanksgiving baskets to the people in the community. Christmas time, we give out toys to the kids in the community. So, you know, my last response is that, you know, by any way, we would definitely love to support, you know, of any in-kind goods, services, and financial support, you know, to help keep the Mission going and our efforts in restoring each person's life, you know, and allow them independent stability. So we would definitely appreciate any kind of support that we could get from your listeners.
Well, Reverend Jones, I want to publicly pledge I'll do whatever I can to support this work. I love you, and I love what you're doing. I know you have a love for these ladies, as does Christ. Otherwise, you would not be amongst them. Praise God. Brad Lacey and the Reverend Kathleen Jones of Potter's House Mission in West Philly, a wonderful ministry to homeless women. Reverend Jones and I have been so pleased to share this with you. We bid you God's grace and blessing in every way. Take care.
God bless you all.